through a lifestyle of obedience, followers of Jesus can have confidence that they have truly come to know God.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
I have a question for you this morning that is a simple question, but perhaps not so simple, though, at the same time. And that simple question is this: are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Christ? And I think, well, that's an easy question to answer. You are, you aren't, right? Well, perhaps not. Because there is a study, been a number of studies done, about Christian faith or belief in America. And one of the most recent studies that says this, that 75% of American adults identify themselves as Christian. They would say, yes, I am a Christian, 75% of that. That's actually down a little bit. As recently as 2001, that same study said that 85% of Americans would say, yes, they are a Christian. But recently, 75% say, I am a Christian. Now, of those, then, 62% of American adults say that they are members of a local church, of a local congregation. And say, well, okay, they identify that, but what about persons who say they are born again? Because, you know, the Scripture speaks that, you know, we must be born again. Well, that same study says that about 30% of Americans say they are born again, and some studies have that as high as 45%. So what do you think? I think those numbers are accurate. Are 75% of Americans Christians? Are 30, 40% born again? What do you think? Are you a follower of Christ? What does God's Word say about what it means to be a Christian, to come to know God, to be in right relationship with Him, to be a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ? Let's take a look as we continue then our series in 1 John, Walking in Light and Love. Moving today into part 3, where we see the theme of walking in obedience. Walk in obedience in 1 John chapter 2. Verses 1 through 6, 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And the thing I want us to take away from this here today is that through a lifestyle of obedience, followers of Jesus can have confidence that they have truly come to know God. We've truly come to know God, and we can have confidence in that when we see it through a lifestyle of obedience, of walking in obedience. Just going to look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Before we do that, a little context for us here. Remember that John is writing these things to these believers because he wants to correct some false teaching which was creeping into the church. There were some wrong ideas, some bad teaching about who Jesus is. Some of it were denying his humanity. But there was also some bad teaching about what it means then to know Him, to know God, to be a Christ follower. There's some where we're saying, well, that this following Christ is something that one understands in one's mind. There's this knowledge one comes to know and have. And that as far as, you know, how we live, our sin, that's not important at all. Doesn't matter how you live. You can walk in sin, walk in darkness, but have the Christ in your mind. Is that what it means to be a Christ follower? Well, John has a lot to say about that. So he wants to correct those wrong ideas, but he also is writing these things, as he says right there at the beginning. He wants that so that our joy may be complete. So that our joy may be complete. And he says that if we say that we have fellowship with God, but we walk in the darkness, then we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. But then he also says something that I know that many of us here in this room can relate to. He says, but if we try to deny that we have sin, well, then we're deceiving ourselves and we're calling God a liar. But if we confess our sins, if we agree with God about our sins, acknowledge them, repent, acknowledge, confess, then Jesus will cleanse us. That God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus. So with that in mind, then, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. John continues the thought here, and he says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this, we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." How Jesus walked. So the challenge here before us as followers of Jesus Christ, as true Christians, true followers of Jesus, is walking in obedience. Walking in obedience. Now, understand, make it very clear here, that we are not saved. We're not brought into a right relationship with God through our own efforts to be good. Anybody agree with that? Because the truth is, who of us, apart from Christ, who of us in this room would say, "You're good, you're a good person"? Well, I know if we're comparing ourselves to one another, to other people, you might say, "Oh, well, in comparison to the worst person you know, you're a good person." But you see, that isn't how God determines what is good and what's right. He is the standard. And by his standard, who of us are good? None of us apart from Christ are good. And that's why we needed a Savior. Right? So the only way we can be right with God is through faith in the righteous one, Jesus. Through faith in him is our forgiveness of our sin and then a right standing with him. That's by faith and by faith alone, period. But that said, though, the Bible also says, though, that faith, which is in faith in Jesus Christ, faith in him alone, that real faith is going to show itself. It's going to be demonstrated in our lives in some way. And so then, if our faith is real, we're called to a walk or a lifestyle of obedience. And as the Word of God has clearly said here, if we continuously, as a way of life, walk in darkness, we're deceiving ourselves. We don't truly know him. So if we truly know him, we will walk in light, walk in obedience. Now, understand again, our salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, right? But that real faith will show itself in our lives and how we live. Understand that. But also understand this. Nobody, even a genuine follower of Jesus, is not without sin. Can anybody agree? Get an agreement on that one right there? Yeah. So we walk in obedience, but we are not, none of us are without sin. None of us are perfectly obedient this side of heaven. God knows that. And God has made provision for that too, for us in Christ. So he says then, we must walk in obedience, but when we sin, notice I didn't say if we sin, we have an advocate. I said what? When we sin, we have an advocate. John says, my little children, it's an expression of love that these followers of Christ were precious to him. He was like a spiritual father to them, and they were his precious spiritual children. So he says, my little children, my precious children, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. Now he knows that we're going to sin, and we have provision in Jesus that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he wants us, though, not to sin. Now, we're going to sometimes, but he wants us not to sin. I write these so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, and we will, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, that we may not sin, but we will. You know, there's a passage. It's not my favorite passage in Scripture, but it's one of them. Some of you are chuckling because about every other passage is my favorite passage in Scripture, right? You know that. But I can tell you, there is a chapter in Scripture that really is my favorite chapter in Scripture. It really is. Who knows it? What is it? It's Romans 8. Yeah, that's my favorite chapter in all the Scriptures. And you know why Romans 8 is my favorite chapter in Scripture? Because of the truth of Romans 7. Now, so we say, oh, okay, well, let's, should we take a look? Should we take a look real quickly? Let's do that, all right? Let's take a look at Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, I want to start at verse 15 there. Here the Apostle Paul. Do you think the Apostle Paul was a genuine believer in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
I'd say so. Do you think the Apostle Paul was a spiritually mature follower of Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say so. Absolutely. And yet, listen to what he says about himself. When he looks at himself, he's troubled by something he sees. What does he see? Verse 15, chapter Romans 7, verse 15. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. What does he want to do? He wants to honor the Lord. He wants to please the Lord. He wants to obey the law of God. And yet, he finds himself that oftentimes he doesn't do that. In fact, what does he do? He does the very thing he hates. He sins, and he hates it. Verse 16, now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. Understand there, Paul's not shirking responsibility for what he does. He's simply laying the source of the problem at the right feet there. He's saying it is not he, it is not in his mind, it's not the new person in Christ who does these sinful things that he hates, but rather what? It is the old person, the old nature, it's the sinful nature in him. That's the source of these things that he hates. For I know, verse 18, that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. That old sinful nature in you or me, there's nothing good or holy or righteous about it. And it's still in each one of us, isn't it? For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Aren't you glad that God didn't save us, forgive us of our sins, and then say, okay, now go out there and try as hard as you can to be good? No, we don't have the ability to do that, do we? For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. Can anybody relate to that? I want to do what's right, but man, evil is right there, close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being. Were you delighting as we were singing together here this morning? Were you delighting in your inner being? So we delight in our inner being, but I see in my members, in my body, another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. And here's the really good stuff then, Romans 8. There is therefore, what? Now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. And by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So God knows that you struggle. God knows that I struggle. Paul did. I do. We all do. But as we are walking in the light, walking in the Spirit, walking in obedience, there is no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus because we've been set free from that. And yes, the struggle is there. But God has triumphed over that. And one day soon, that sinful nature in the flesh, we're going to be separated. From when do we get separated from that sinful nature in the flesh? When we're separated from the body, death. But God isn't done with the body, though, is he? He's going to raise and change our sinfully, mortally corrupted bodies of flesh and refashion them and make them new like the resurrection body of Jesus. But until then, we walk by the Spirit, and if we sin, and we will, what do? We confess our sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because remember, when you sin, when I sin, we have an advocate. What is an advocate? Well, he's referring to the Holy Spirit there. There are a number of different terms that the Scriptures use to refer to the Holy Spirit. He is the paraclete. It means literally one who is called alongside, that the Holy Spirit has been called alongside to walk alongside us and within us to help us to live a righteous life that's pleasing to God. He's our called alongside helper. He is our comforter. He is our counselor. Here he's what? Our advocate or our lawyer. Think of it that way. How many of you have a lawyer? All right. How many, maybe you shouldn't raise it. How many of you have needed a lawyer? All right. Okay. So what did that lawyer do for you? There was something you did. I know nobody in here has ever done anything wrong or illegal, but let's just pretend you did, okay? You needed somebody to come alongside and plead your case. So Jesus is our lawyer, he's our advocate, who comes alongside and pleads our case. You see, because the Scripture says that we have an enemy, The one we sang that the sovereign Lord would put to flight here today before we started listening to his word today, right? That we have an enemy who likes to accuse us. And Scripture doesn't say he occasionally accuses us. How often does he accuse you and me? Constantly, doesn't he? And by the way, is he lying when he accuses you and me of sin or wrongdoing? No, he doesn't have to. He is a liar. But at least in my case, he doesn't even need to lie that much, does he? Okay, I'm not sure I'm happy that you're saying yes, nodding, that he doesn't need to lie about that for me. But that's true of all of us, though, isn't it? So when he accuses us, right there is our advocate, our lawyer, who comes alongside and says, no, he is righteous, she is righteous in me. His sins are forgiven. Her sins have been paid for. He's righteous in me. She's righteous in me. She's going to be glorified in me. So our advocate then is Jesus Christ. And who is he to be our advocate? Well, he is the righteous. The one who never sinned. The one, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took on human flesh, was made like one of us, human, God, and yet human too, in every way that it means to be human, he was human. But different, though, in that what? He was without sin. He had no sin nature. And he then, through his whole life, was perfectly obedient to the law of God. Which is what God's righteousness and holiness requires. Perfect holiness. And you wouldn't want it any other way, by the way. Would you want a heaven where sin still existed and ruled? No. You know what it would look like? This place. You want to live forever and on this earth? I don't. So he never sinned, was perfectly obedient to the law, met the full requirements of God's law in himself, and then willingly went to the cross and not just physically suffered and physically died, but he spiritually suffered and took upon himself God's wrath, judgment, condemnation for my sin and yours, paid the full price so that you wouldn't have to and I wouldn't have to. Conquering it, dying, was buried, and then rose again so that you and I might follow him in resurrection. A new spirit, perfect, holy, righteous, and a glorified, resurrected body in which we will dwell on a new earth when Jesus comes again. He is Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he's your lawyer. He's your advocate who pleads your case. So don't listen to the enemy. Listen to your lawyer. Walk in obedience, because when we sin, we have an advocate. Walk in obedience. You see, Jesus fully satisfied God's judgment for our sins. It says he is the propitiation for our sins. Every now and then we give you a nice fancy vocabulary word. Here's your fancy theological vocabulary word for today is propitiation. Propitiation, which means satisfaction. He fully satisfied God's wrath, God's judgment. And it's a right wrath. God is right to be angry about sin, isn't he? He is. And because he's right to be angry about it, because he's just, he must judge it. But because he's love, and because he's merciful, he took his very own judgment. Isn't it incredible? And so in Christ, he fully satisfied, propitiated the righteous judgment, the condemnation, the wrath of God. Fully satisfied. You know what that means?
Good news.
It's good news. You know what else it means?
Complete.
It's complete. Nothing to be added to it, our salvation. You know what it means, though, right now? God is not mad at you. You ever feel like God is mad at you? Now, does God grieve our sin? Of course he does. But his wrath has been fully satisfied. He fully satisfied God's wrath for all our sins. And not only mine and yours here, but for who? For all the world, all the whole world. Now that doesn't mean that everyone is going to be saved, because it is only those who believe who will be saved, right? Anyone, whosoever believes, will be saved. And the sins of all of those are fully satisfied in Christ, placed on him who received the judgment so that they wouldn't have to, you and I wouldn't have to. So then, obedience then, walking in obedience then, it gives believers, it gives you and me assurance. Assurance of what? That we truly do know him. We truly do have fellowship with him. We truly are his children. John says, we know we have come to know him by how? By keeping his commandments. That's obedience. That's a lifestyle, a way of life. It's not a perfect obedience because we all sin, right? He's just said, but if we sin, we have a what? An advocate, a lawyer. He says what? The one who says he knows God but walks in disobedience is a liar and the truth is not in him. But obedience, though, when we walk in obedience, then the love of God is perfected in us. We come to know God's love powerfully. And his purposes and his love is made complete in you, in me. So if we say that we know him, oh yeah, I believe, I'm a Christian, I'm a follower of Christ, then we must do what? Walk as he walked. Live as Jesus lived. Now, none of us are going to live perfectly as Jesus did. But when we sin, we what? We have an advocate, our lawyer. And this gives us assurance. We can know that we have come to know him when we see that in our lives. Well, so what? What do you want me to do with this? Well, I want to remind us first where we started, that it is through a lifestyle of obedience that followers of Jesus can have confidence. Confidence that they have truly come to know God. So I would conclude with a couple of admonitions here. One is, and Scripture tells us to do this, all those who say, yes, I'm a follower of Jesus, Scripture says, examine yourself. Paul said, examine yourselves to see if you be in the faith. You know, because just because someone comes to church, and even if they come all the time, every Sunday, does that make them a genuine follower of Christ? No, church attendant. Now, it's good to come to church, isn't it? But that isn't what makes one a genuine follower of Christ. It's faith in him, and faith that is evidence then in our lives, gives evidence in our lives. So the Scripture says, examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. You know, there's a study for new believers about, it's called one-to-one discipleship, and I like how it brings this, the first lesson there speaks of assurance. How can I know that I have eternal life in Christ? How can I know that I've truly come to know God in Christ? And it speaks there of that assurance, that confidence. By the way, do you think we can have confidence in that? Absolutely we can. Why? Because the Bible says we can. Because there are some that would say, oh man, that's got to be pretty arrogant to think that you can know that you're right with God and you're going to heaven. Well, I'm not saying it because I want to. I'm saying it because the Scripture says we can. And so, well, how can we have that assurance? And it suggests then, well, that assurance is based on, first off, God's trustworthy word. that it tells us these things. It tells us that we can have that confidence and that assurance, that there are things that we need to believe about who Jesus is, who we are, express true saving faith in him, and believe it because his word says it's true. It's a trustworthy word. But also, though, the scripture speaks of, in my favorite chapter of the Bible, which is Romans 8, it says what? That his spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, testifies with our spirit that we are indeed children of God. That's kind of a... Anybody here tend toward the more mystical side of the faith? Okay, I have to admit, I tend a little bit more towards the rational, logical side of the faith, which is good, but we need our biblically grounded and sound mystics among us, though, too, don't we? I'm being careful here, Don. We've had conversations about that. Well, part of that is, you know, part of our assurance is, yes, the Word of God, that's sure and sound, but also the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit. You know it because you know the Spirit is speaking to your spirit. Who can relate to that? Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. The testimony of the Holy Spirit. But then finally it says, and this goes right to what we've been looking at here today, it's the evidence of a changed life. We see that we are walking in light. We see God at work in our lives, changing our attitudes and our behaviors. And that's a process, isn't it? But we see the evidence. It's a long process, someone said. Who can relate? That's a long process, isn't it? He's not done with me. He's not done with any of us in here. So examine yourself to see that you be in the faith. How can we be sure? Well, by the trustworthy word of God, by the confirming testimony of the Holy Spirit in us, but then also by the evidence of a changed life. We see God at work in us as we're walking in the light and not in the dark. So examine yourself. Final thought. I want to encourage us with this here today. I know I need it. Keep your lawyer on speed dial. Keep your lawyer on speed dial. Why? Because we have an enemy who loves to accuse, to discourage, to distract, right? We're fighting a battle. The world, the flesh, and the devil are battling against us all the time. The messages and the philosophies and the teachings and attitudes of the world, that inner battle within us. And then the enemy who energizes the flesh and the world and tempts us and accuses us. Remember, you've got a lawyer, and he's the best one. Even money can't buy him. Only faith brings him services, brings him his services. So keep your lawyer on speed dial. When you're discouraged, when you're being attacked, when you're being accused, when you're looking at yourself and saying, oh, Lord, you have an advocate, Christ Jesus, the righteous one. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we do have an advocate in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I do pray that even as we examine ourselves, we can be discouraged. We may be genuine followers of Christ, but we can become discouraged by that battle within us and by the lies and accusations of the enemy. But I thank you, though, Lord, that we have an advocate, that we can walk in assurance and hope, that we have indeed come to know you, and that we have new life. Thank you for that confident assurance and hope that is ours. May that be seen then through a lifestyle of obedience then in each one of us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.